Start in about 2 minutes, so if you can all take your seats, if you can all be ready, and we'll start with the Who Is update from Liz in just two minutes from now. I hope people participating remotely can hear us fine. We'll try and involve you as much as we can and as efficiently as we can. Please, if you do want to participate, talk, ask questions, use the Adobe Connect to raise your hand so we can see that, and then we can involve you in the conversation as best we can. Thanks very much.
Can somebody try and connect to dash WPA, please? And just tell me.
I can't do it right now.
I am on it. Anybody you want me to reconnect?
No, if you're on it, yeah, if you could.
Hang up.
God, thank you on that.
I'm on it. We have all these sets. No, we have no main ballrooms to do, but they're not done with the stage right now.
And we have to finish.
And Impala, but they're not. They have a friend for us.
And Shimba.
Yeah. Well, now, do you, I mean, can you just outside cover some equipment?
I can mute it.
Yeah. Is it, I just want to make sure that nobody's going to want to try and pick this up.
Okay, I think we ought to start, everybody. We're getting some...
We had one interference.
Can everyone on the line please mute their phone?
Okay, if we can... Yeah, okay, that seems to have sorted itself out. Welcome, everyone. So just to make sure everyone is aware of what's going on, my name is Stefan van Gelder. I'm the vice chair of the GNSO Council, and I will be sitting in for Chuck and, well, both Chuck and Olga, to be honest. Chuck, the chair of the council, and Olga, the vice chair, nominated by the non-contracted parties house. Chuck is unable to make the trip, and Olga had a last-minute personal matter to attend to, so she had, unfortunately, to cancel her trip as well. So we will try and do our best to make sure these meetings go smoothly, and Chuck and many other councillors will be participating remotely, so I'm sure we'll try and get everyone as involved as we can. Let's start straight away with an update from Liz Gaster on the Who Is. Liz.
Thank you very much, Stefan, and good day to everyone. Thank you for participating in this session. I'm going to be giving an update on the Who Is studies that were requested by the GNSO Council. There are two parts to my presentation. The first part is kind of a high-level update on where we stand with all the studies, and then part two is a deeper explanation of where we are with the Who Is Service Requirement Study, one particular study that we've been asked to examine. I also want to mention that the Compliance Department of ICANN recently posted on February 15th a Who Is Accuracy Study. There's a 60-day comment period on that study that closes on the 15th of April. I'm mentioning it for two reasons. One, just to be able to clarify that study is completely separate from these studies that are being requested by the GNSO Council. So that study is not a study that I'm going to discuss today. I think my second reason for mentioning it is that there could be information, I think, contained in that study that would be useful for those of you who are interested in Who Is to take a look at it and possibly comment on. So I wanted to just make that connection if I could. Okay, so I'm going to just briefly touch on what the goals of Who Is studies are. As many of you know, policy related to Who Is has been debated for many years. There are many competing interests with valid viewpoints that range from intellectual property concerns by cybersecurity professionals and law enforcement, concerns by individuals who are concerned about their privacy and also privacy advocates who are concerned about privacy issues. Many registrars and other service providers are concerned about potential costs and also impact to their business models. So although none of these previous discussions have led to significant policy changes in Who Is, the GNSO Council hoped that study data emerging from these studies would provide an objective factual basis for further policy making. So the GNSO Council identified five Who Is study areas to test hypotheses that reflect key policy concerns. Those are the five study areas I'm going to be giving an overview on today. And for the first three categories, the Council asked staff to determine costs and feasibility of conducting one or more of these. So they didn't actually ask us right now to conduct the studies, only to provide information about how feasible the studies would be and the costs of those studies. So if you have questions along the way, I'm happy to answer them, but I need someone to help me tell me when there are questions from people on the line instead of in the room. So are there any questions at this point? Great.
My name is Marilyn Cade. I'm a member of the business constituency and the chair of the first Who Is Task Force many, many years ago. I'm particularly pleased to see the work on defining the studies move forward. But this question may actually be for the counselors that are in the room, and for you, Liz, realizing that the framework for the operational plan and the budget is published now, at what point is the identification of the funding for the studies far enough along that it can actually be reflected into the framework document for the budget?
That's the topic of my presentation, which I'll be covering throughout.
Okay.
So I'm going to talk about the timing and also the timing of the budget. Okay. Anything else?
Can I just make sure to ask everybody to really speak into the microphone so that people participating remotely can hear us? And state, my name is Stefan van Gelder. Thank you, Marika, for reminding me of that. And please state your name so that everyone knows who's speaking.
Okay, it's Liz Gaster again. I'm going to talk first about the Who Is Misuse studies. There were really two possible studies in this bucket of studies looking at assessing whether public who is significantly increases harmful acts and also to take a look at the impact of anti-harvesting measures. One of the proposed studies in this grouping would survey registrants, registrars, research, and law enforcement organizations about past acts misuse that people think might have been tied to who is. And another would measure a variety of acts aimed at measuring the extent to which who is published who is versus unpublished who is test addresses might result in who is, in misuse. So we did use an RFP approach for this study in order to determine what the costs would be. Staff wasn't really in a position to be able to develop the costs ourselves, and we also wanted to take the opportunity to solicit from potential researchers what feasibility issues there might be. So we received three responses to this study, and an analysis is underway. The analysis is actually very far along, and essentially I really missed the deadline for Nairobi by just a few days in order to produce the staff's analysis of this. So it is going to be, the analysis is going to be released shortly. You know, we'll be providing cost estimates for the study and also our assessment of feasibility and, you know, any issues that might need to be considered. A question from Steve Del Bianco.
Thanks, Liz. Of the three responses, were any of them willing to do a survey for this, or were they picking the analysis method too?
All three were willing to do both.
Second question, and this might actually be something you can handle at the end, but the high likelihood that our draft applicant guidebook, once approved, will require a thick who is for new GTLD registry operators. We don't want to miss the chance to learn from our study vendors any implications for thick versus thin who is in the world going ahead. Because as you know, when we designed all these RFPs, these study parameters, we didn't at the time know that we would likely have a thick world.
Thank you. We do talk a little bit about that in the second part of the presentation. Okay, I'm going to go on to Who Is Registrant Identification Study. This study would look at how registrants identify themselves in Who Is and the extent to which domains owned by businesses or being used for a commercial purpose are not clearly identified as such in Who Is. Perhaps, for example, the actual domain user's identity is obscured by a privacy service or suggests that the registrant is a non-business entity or is acting without a commercial purpose, and then tie that to the use of privacy and proxy services in terms of correlating for those domains whether they're using privacy and proxy services. So we also used an RFP approach here to determine the cost and feasibility. In this case, we received 5 responses, and again, our analysis is going to be forthcoming very shortly. Just couldn't quite get it done for this meeting. I will say that each of these studies, roughly the estimates for these studies, and again, you'll get more detailed information, are between $150,000 and $170,000 each. The third area is to take a look at proxy and privacy services really from 2 distinct perspectives. This will probably end up actually being 2 separate RFPs. We have not developed RFPs yet on these 2 study areas. They are complicated, and we focused on the first 2 areas first. The first of these 2 privacy and proxy areas is the privacy and proxy abuse study. This would look at the relationship between domains associated with illegal or harmful internet acts and privacy proxy service abuse, essentially looking at the extent to which domain names used to conduct illegal or harmful internet activities are registered via proxy and privacy services. We think this seems technically doable, but it could be challenging because of the need for assistance from many input sources and would likely need extensive community participation. So that's why we've delayed a bit the RFP on this, although I think we'll be releasing this RFP by the end of March or maybe early April. And then the second proxy and privacy services study that the GNSO requested was really to look at what we're calling the reveal study. It would measure the responses of proxy and privacy services to requests to reveal information about the registrant or licensee of the service. This study is logistically difficult because it seems to require that there be actual victims of actionable harm to originate the reveal requests accompanied by evidence of harm. So we're continuing to assess how we might approach an RFP for this study area. And that particular study, I think, is going to take us longer to release the RFP, I would say maybe by the end of April or so. But I'll have a more clear update within the next few weeks on that study. The fourth area of study asked us to look at the readability of non-ASCII whois. The study would...
Sorry to interrupt you. People sure. are wanting to ask questions. Can I ask that we ask questions at the end? Just hold off until Liz finishes her presentations, and then we'll take a list. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Stefan. Liz again. So we're talking here about the fourth area of study, the readability of non-ASCII whois. This study would involve a technical analysis of how various client-side software would display non-ASCII registration information. We've held up on this study because there is a ESAC GNSO working group on internationalized registration data that was recently convened following the Seoul meeting. This group is in the early stages of considering questions like, you know, what should we require from internationalized registration data? This group will also address technical questions regarding how data elements might be extensible to accommodate users who would benefit from registration information displaying in familiar characters from local languages and scripts. There actually is an update on this, I think, being given in the ESAC. Unfortunately, I just don't have the date and time available right now, but I can get it to people who are interested. I just want to make a point of saying I think there is a presentation on how that group's progress is coming along shortly. And then the last area that the GNSO Council asked staff to look at was actually not so much a study but a compilation of WHOIS service requirements based on both the current requirements of WHOIS and previous policy discussions. And in this case, we did not go the RFP route. We decided to conduct this study ourselves. One of the policy staff, Steve Shang, has actually done the work developing this compilation, and I'm going to be, in the second presentation that I'm about to give, just highlighting some of his findings so far. We again think that study will be complete in the late March time frame, at least the first draft of it, and we'll be sharing it with the council and the community as well as other SOs and ACs for their input. So I wanted to just briefly touch on the timeline and next steps for these first three study areas and also kind of answer Marilyn's question at the same time, which is our first step is to finalize a report to the GNSO Council on the first two study areas. We're also going to be finalizing the draft to a service requirements report, as I say, and then also developing and finalizing RFPs on the proxy and privacy services studies. We'll be providing to the council details on the first two study areas fairly shortly. And as I say, you know, each of these studies is going to cost somewhere in the estimate is somewhere in the $150,000 to $170,000 range each. I'll provide more detail on this in the analysis, but it is important to, because these studies are costly, it'll be important for the council to raise this issue in the budget process and request funding for those studies. And also to consider the prioritization of studies, recognizing that we'll have proxy and privacy services studies that we'll be providing costs on later, which perhaps might get carried over to the next fiscal year. That's just a suggestion, but it's something that I think the council does need to discuss, the budget for the studies and the timing for that, since the budget will be you're already being asked to comment on the budget and with the goal of finalizing the budget, I think, in June. So it's going to be important to take a look at the information there and you know, for the council to make subsequent decision on what it wants to recommend. So I'm going to move on to this progress report on WHOIS service requirements with a reminder that, or just mentioning again, that Steve Shang is really the author of this report. He's also on the line and happy to answer questions if people have questions on this. Just one sec. I think the genesis, really, of this study was that there have been increasing community concerns over time that WHOIS service is deficient in a number of ways, such as data accuracy, support for internationalized registration data, and such. And so the thought was that having a compilation of all of the potential requirements for WHOIS as well as existing requirements for WHOIS would be useful for the council in addition to the other studies that they've requested us to look into as a way of moving forward on the potential replacement for a WHOIS protocol. So this request for this study was actually came later than the first request. It was requested in May of 2009, and we're just about to complete this compilation. So the next few slides are just kind of a preview of what we've well, I gave you the text of the resolution. You know, that's just for your records. The goals, which I think I've already stated, the current features as well as features to support past proposals and features that might be recommended by the SOs and the ACs. So the previous recommendations, for example, that the SEC has already made, as well as subsequent recommendations as well. So this is a list of just topics that we have included in our preliminary compilation. The first is a mechanism to find authoritative WHOIS servers. Currently, there's no easy way to find out the domain names and IP addresses of WHOIS servers for a given TLD or registrar. So with ccTLDs and new gTLDs, this could become a bigger problem. And so the notion here is that there perhaps should be a mechanism to find authoritative WHOIS servers for a given domain. You know, one thing I didn't mention, that it was in the slide, but I want to just reiterate it again here, that we're talking about technical requirements for WHOIS, not policy requirements for WHOIS in this compilation. That was the intention of the compilation. So the second element that will be included in this compilation is structured queries. Today, WHOIS server applications vary with respect to how they expect clients to format query data. WHOIS client applications also vary with respect to how they have compensated for the server variability. So these factors affect the user experience in a negative way, as the query syntax can change from server to server and can also adversely affect automating. So this requirement is that there perhaps should be a standard query structure that clients can implement and that all GTLD registries and ICANN-accredited registrars might support. Third is a well-defined schema for replies. The WHOIS protocol doesn't specify a format for data response, so registrars and registries return the WHOIS data results in different ways. The lack of a standard format or data structure makes it difficult for us to interpret the results and also for programs to parse the results. Okay, just moving on with additional compilations of elements, we're also including issues related to the quality of domain registration data, accuracy, how current data is, the internationalization issue. There's no mechanism today to indicate character sets that are in use. The third area is security, that there are few requirements related to verification or authentication. Thick versus thin WHOIS. Steve Del Bianco mentioned that earlier. For new GTLDs, staff has recommended thick WHOIS. Many current registries have thick WHOIS, but not all registries have thick WHOIS. So that would be included. We've also would be including a registrar abuse point of contact as a possibility. This was an idea recommended by the SSAC. So again, I've touched on the next steps, but we're going to be releasing a draft hopefully by the end of March. We're going to conduct some webinars. Steve Chang will do this, and also consult with the other SOs and ACs on the draft, as well as consulting with the GNSO, which was a particular request of the GNSO when it approved this resolution. And hopefully we'll release the final report by May of 2010. So let me stop there and ask if there are questions.
Thanks very much, Liz. Just a couple of points before we move on to the questions. First of all, Marika would like to explain how people can use the chat, the online chat, which I think you can access from the Nairobi website, the Nairobi meeting website, as well as being on Adobe Connect. And also to point out a fact that may not be obvious to everybody, anybody can ask questions, not only GNSO councillors, so please feel free to do so if you want to ask questions. And Marika, so how do we use that chat?
This is Marika. So indeed, the chat room can be accessed through the Nairobi website. If you go to this, the information of the session on the remote participation, you find the link there. But also for those that are in the Adobe Connect room, they'll see the same chat window. So either you can ask questions in the chat room, or those that are also on the audio bridge, they can either raise their hand in Adobe Connect to be recognized, or if they're not on Adobe Connect, they can maybe, when Stefan takes the cue, state their names to indicate that they want to be they want to ask a question or comment. So that's it.
Thanks very much, Marika. Steve, you had a question, and then I had Marilyn in the queue.
Thanks, Stefan. Steve Del Bianco. Liz, when you mentioned the RFP that's underway for what we'll call the Reveal study, I wanted to ask you about that. The VC was particularly interested in that, and we helped you to work on how to structure that. I realize that it may be that we'll compose scenarios of abuse to try to test how quickly the proxy services reveal. But we also, I think, said we were going to look empirically back at anyone who had prepared well-structured requests for reveal and learn how quickly they were followed by the registrar. So some of it's prospective testing, probing, and some of it was going to be retrospective analysis if the data could be found. So my question is this. Are some of the thick registries today offering privacy protection services? Does anybody actually know the answer to that? Do the thick registries offer privacy protection today? It's only registrars then. It's only registrars. They couldn't. Right. So we can't really test the response time from a thick registry privacy protection versus a registrar, because the only data universe we have today are registrars running privacy. And third parties, right? We have registries and registrars and third parties running privacy.
Yes, that's right, Steve.
Okay. Because that, to me, is an important distinction on thick and thin, but it sounds as if we're not going to get empirical data from thick registries offering privacy protection. And then I had a second question, which was the who is international character situation. Now, I realize the SSAC is doing the working group right now, and I've read Dave Piscitello's notes about how that working group is proceeding. And Dave is well aware that council has formed one of our questions with respect to who is on this, because Dave helped me to form those questions. And yet, when I read the analysis and what the working group's doing, it's not clear that SSAC working group is endeavoring to answer GNSO Council's question. Liz, the GNSO Council question with respect to international characters, we adopted a resolution that included a very specific phrased question on international characters. Is the SSAC working group aware that Council has that in front of it and will be wanting to study whatever they come up with?
Yeah, it's in their charter.
It's in their charter. Thank you.
So, Marilyn, do you...
Sorry. My name is Alex Gakuru. I would like to know whether the study... you mentioned something to do with queries, that they are non-standard on returning data on who is there. I found out that many queries are different structured and the way they return the data. I hope the study can find out if, or perhaps what would be the situation or the status of so many of those servers that have queries that are uniform and likelihood of maybe how they have received sort of attacks in the past, so that we see whether if it's standardized so much, then you may have some sort of denial of service on servers that return similar type of information. I would be interested to see that kind of data from that study. Thanks.
So just to comment on that, it's not those. That's actually going. That's work that's underway by this joint working group, the SSAC GNSO working group. Not one of the studies that I'm looking at right now. So my suggestion is there is a session on that. You can. There's also the availability to participate in that working group if you're interested. But I think that's the contact. That's the place where that issue is really going to be examined. Not one of the GNSO. At least for the moment, not one of the GNSO studies. You know, unless we find that, like as Steve says, that they bring that work then into that working group.
Thanks, Liz. Marilyn, you had a question, and then I had Chuck in the queue.
My question is related, I think, to the point that Alex was making, and that is the need for constant feedback and linkage between that additional work that is going on in terms of the work in the SSAC. And also the work related to IDNs and non-ASCII characters. And right now, is there's overlap between, so there's these parallel work efforts going on, and there's members of the community involved in it, and there's a constant link between the two?
So that group is...
I just have one final other question.
I'm not going to remember these questions.
Okay, go ahead.
That group is chaired by someone from the SSAC and someone from the GNSO. So the SSAC chair is Jeremy Hitchcock, and the GNSO chair is Edmund Chung. And so there is a linkage, they are updating the GNSO and the SSAC and regularly, you know, to keep them informed. But we're still at fairly nascent stage of that working group because it was really just convened after Seoul. So,
and my other question was the status of the discussions, and I may have missed it in the update. The status of the discussions on the role of CRISP.
So there's not a specific discussion going on right now on the role of CRISP per se. I think part of the rationale behind the WHOIS service requirements study was to then take a look, you know, once you have this comprehensive list to, you know, consider as far as next steps what a replacement might be. But I think the council was actually careful in their phrasing of the resolution back in May not to define any particular protocol that should be examined in the process. The other place, though, where I think that could come up is also in the ESSAC GNSO internationalized working group, because there could be benefits to potentially in CRISP or other potential protocols that could address some of those concerns.
Okay, well, I see Jothan is either asking questions or discussing something on the chat, which is not easy to follow. Let's go over to Chuck and then maybe ask Jothan if he wants to ask a question directly. Chuck?
Thank you, Stefan. Can you hear me okay?
Yeah, we can hear you fine.
Good. Okay, this is my first try at this. Hello to everyone. Sorry I can't be there in person. But one comment on the CRISP issue, just for clarity going forward, I believe the protocol is IRIS. CRISP was the name of the working group, and probably we should refer to the protocol as IRIS. Technical people can correct me if I'm wrong on that. But Liz, I think you accurately captured that with regard to that. We did not specify anything with regard to what protocol should be used. So you did that right. And then secondly, since I don't want to jump in too much remotely, I do want to thank Liz for an excellent report and especially for all of the hard work that's gone into this request for WHOIS studies on top of everything else that's going on. Thank you.
Thanks, Chuck. Jothan, did you want to jump in there or anyone else participating remotely? I guess that's a no. Any other questions from the room? Okay. Liz, do you have any closing remarks, or can we move on?
You know, the only other thing I'll say, I started by talking a little bit about the WHOIS accuracy compliance study, and I just want to, I'm going to just say a sort of a closing couple of words about that, because I think the purpose of that study was to get a baseline measure of what proportion of WHOIS records are accurate. But there are some interesting, conclusions, if you will, embedded in that report about barriers to accuracy. And I just want to encourage people who are listening attentively to me because they're interested in WHOIS studies and about all these issues related to WHOIS studies to also really look at that compliance study and think about whether there's content in that compliance study that also might help in some way informing the policy debate on WHOIS. I just want to make sure that because it's emanating from the compliance group and not from the staff's work related to the GNSO, that those of you who are interested, be sure to take a look at that as well.
Thanks very much, Liz. Question from Paul. Question from Paul Stahura, just behind me.
Just regarding that study, I was wondering. Oh, it's Paul Stahura. I'm representing myself. I was wondering if we could get a list of the, I think there was 1,500 names in the study, or approximately, a list of the names and the WHOIS information for each, so that we could look at it ourselves. Can they publish the list in the WHOIS that was used?
Paul, we're going to, hang on one sec. Pam Little's here from the compliance department. I'm not prepared to answer that.
Okay. I'm not very close about the list, but I would inquire about whether the list can be made available to the public or anyone who is interested in. Is that okay? I'll come back to you as to whether the list will be available and how we can make that available to you.
Marilyn?
Sorry, Stefan. Pam, before you go away, I have a... Sorry, it's Marilyn Kate. I have a clarifying question. If the list includes personally identifiable details of any kind, it can't be published, right? Well,
basically, they took a list of 1,500 names. They looked it up in the WHOIS. I just want to see the name and the WHOIS for each one. It's already public. Yeah. What did the 1,500 names approximately? What's the WHOIS for each? That's all.
Okay.
It's Liz. I'm trying to answer a question from the chat room that...
Yeah, Jonathan is asking a question. He's having problems with the audio. So we're trying to decipher your question, Jonathan, which is...
It sounds more like an observation than a question, that CCTLDs allow registrants to opt out of display. Thanks, Jonathan. And that there needs to be a distinction as between privacy and proxy services, absolutely, as James mentioned. Thank you.
Can you read that question out from James, please?
So the question from James is regarding non-ASCII. He presumes that we mean web-based who is and not port 43 who is. And I think that's right, but again, we're not conducting a study on the non-ASCII right now.
Okay. Just to give you an idea of what's going to happen next on the agenda, in a couple of minutes, we will have an address to the council from the NONCOM chair, who's already in the room. And that will be followed at 12:30 by a lunch break, and we will reconvene at 1 o'clock, 1 to 4. We will have Kurt Pritz here to give us a series of presentations on the new GTLDs, and that is posted on the agenda. You can go to either the GNSO Council website to see that or the main Nairobi site. So if there are no more questions on the WHOs, I will turn this over to the NOMCOM chair. Oh, and we will... So we're going to need... this is inconvenient, but we're going to have to ask people to disconnect and reconnect because this is a new meeting. So we'll give... We'll break for 5 minutes, give people time to do that. And please, operator, note that it's the end of this meeting and we'll reconvene in 5 minutes for the next one. Thank you very much.